Sport and the Law on Breakfast with Vossi and Brandy. For Bryden's Lawyers, let our team of professionals help with your legal matter.
Just an update before Lee Hadjipantelis, as I try to get this SIM card working, can you believe this? So I had to pay. So I'm on the UK network. Mm-hmm. It asked for my credit card to do a top-up. I've done that.
Yep.
And then the credit card verification is going to be sent to the number of my phone that I've taken the SIM card out. So I have to take this SIM card out to put my other SIM card in to get the verification code.
That's
and then go through
hard.
The entire process again.
That's all too hard.
So I'm stuck, Lee. I'm stuck. I'm a dinosaur in this modern world. I have no place. Technologically, I'm just out. I'm retiring, Lee. I'm out.
Good morning, too, Lee.
Welcome to the show, Lee.
Good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Greg. Happy to be with you again.
Yes. Well, now we need to start with the Tigers, Lee, if you don't mind. I just want to play Abbey Corrissau yesterday with a few on board at Penrith. Here he is.
Just to go out on a high like that, it's pretty incredible. And probably do the same thing at Tigers.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah, wow. Yeah, didn't like that. Not a fan of that. If I'm a Tigers fan, I'm a bit disappointed with that. What about you, Lee?
Well, the comments have not escaped our attention, of course, and I suspected that this would be the first subject of conversation this morning. But last night, our CEO, Justin Pascoe, and I both reached out to Appy's manager. The matter has been dealt with and dealt with privately, so I'm not particularly keen on giving it too much oxygen this morning. Greg can confirm, but as I understand, I don't know him too well, but Appy's a thoroughly decent fellow, presents as such, and
yep.
I'm sure if he had his time again, he might rethink those comments. As I say, it was in the spur of the moment and emotions play a large part and perhaps some alcohol as well, but yes. We're not going to put a lot of stock into it, and we're very keen on welcoming him to the club as soon as his World Cup commitments are complete.
Mm. What about Isaiah Papali'i? Has there been any chat with him recently? Because from the media's point of view, and I keep reading stories that, you know, Isaiah is sort of still up in the air. Surely not.
No, this was a storm in a teacup. It has been for quite some time, and we've refrained from commenting on it because there was no need to.
Right.
We are contractually bound to Isaiah. He is contractually bound to the West Tigers. There's never been any suggestion from either side that they were not going to fulfil their contractual obligations. We've received assurances that Isaiah will be joining the club as soon as his World Cup obligations are complete as well. So, we gave that story no oxygen whatsoever as well because there was nothing in it.
So, yeah, and just on that, just so the listener knows, by the collective bargaining agreement, what the players are entitled to is it 6 weeks off, Brandy? They do get, or they get five. They have to have a break.
Yeah.
When
but
they
get,
come back.
Yeah, difference. They get different lengths of time off depending on how many years they've had in the NRL.
Okay, because he'll be, if
which
New Zealand,
makes it tight, Lee, yeah. doesn't it? It's a very
takes
short
up off, to Christmas. Well, takes up to Christmas.
And we are starting the season a week earlier, which means we start trials a week earlier. Mm. So there's very little time for teams to get back together before the season gets underway. Mm.
In fact, we won't be seeing some players back until January. Mm. The season will commence in early March. I think it's the shortest off-season on record. So there will be some challenges. We're not losing too many players to the World Cup, so the majority of our roster will be back on deck in early November, and we're very much looking forward to that.
Yeah, and the trials start pretty much first week of February. Fox League's going to have every trial match covered again next year, Brandy. The season, we're not going off-season. We're going to be back into it. There's also the All-Stars game, which is over in Rotorua next year. So I'm not sure what sort of turnout they're going to get to that, to be honest. I don't think clubs would be of your weekends send your players to Rotorua out of the mix.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they all line up. Lee, I saw a story in the paper today about the World Cup players and insurances. Now, I'm not sure of the story. I think the story said that the NRL will cover players that are playing for Australia, but not playing for other nations. Do you know anything about that story?
That's probably right. As you know, the relationship between player and club, or in this case, the Australian Rugby League, is one of employer and employee. There's a contractual relationship that exists as between them. There would be insurance that would be taken out to cover all of those players, and that was just to workers' compensation insurance. But that would be the same insurance that I would expect that all affiliations, that is all countries, would have to take out for their playing group as well. And there's no doubt that that would be a requirement, an absolute minimum requirement for participation in the World Cup. So even those players who may not be playing for Australia, but Australian players playing for another country, I would be very comfortable to suggest that they're all going to have adequate insurance in place.
Right, by those nations they are playing for.
Correct.
Yes. Okay.
You certainly have the case. Now, I want to go outside the sphere of sport if I can. I don't know. Are you an Optus customer, Brandy?
No, I'm not. So no, I haven't taken much notice of it.
So I get the message yesterday, like thousands of Australians, you know, and even then you start to question, is this a real message? And you're not quite sure. This is the world we live in now. But it said you don't have to worry anything about the licence number.
Passport.
But not the, the licence card or the number, but not the actual licence number, you know, the 4-digit and the letters that I've got.
Right.
Hasn't been released. Are we meant to take that on face value? Where do we stand as customers here? They're talking about compensation payouts and what it could potentially cost. Where do you think this is going to land, Lee?
I think it's a little bit premature at the moment, although I have seen another firm that's listed as advertising for a proposed class action, which, as I say, somewhat premature, perhaps opportunistic, because we haven't actually determined as yet as to how this breach occurred. Now, Optus, like all other telecommunication companies, operate under a license, and it's analogous to the license that's operated by casinos, for example. And it sets out in detail the terms and conditions of the license and also the obligations of the telco to ensure that they have sufficient security measures in place to withstand such a cyber attack. But it also sets out the contractual relations between Optus and its customers. Now, there is also federal legislation, the Privacy Act, and that regulates the way an individual's private information is to be stored by a government agency and other organisations, including Optus. Now, if ultimately it is determined that there has been some failing on Optus's part so far as its security measures are concerned or failure to comply with minimum protocols with respect to the storage of this private information, then Optus will be held liable. There's no doubt that there will be a class action brought as against Optus by all of its customers. I think that's inevitable is established.
Yeah, I would read you out the text message on my phone, but I've got the Pommy SIM card in there right at the moment. I can't get the text messages back from Optus, so I'm going to confuse them. I probably need the help of a hacker, to be quite honest, at the moment, to be able to navigate my way through all of this. Look, the amount of money could be enormous if we had to change everything. I mean, yeah.
Enormous.
Imagine if we were a bigger country. Imagine if we were a country of 100 million, what you'd do like with this breach. Just enormous. Another issue is concussion too, Lee. Is it fair to say, and we've had this discussion a few times, but in America, what's happened with that Miami Dolphins player is just fair to him. Gobsmacking in the past week that he was cussed. He was staggering around and somehow
they let him back on the field
and then let him play the next week and he then cops another head knock and goes into seizure. The concussion issue, I mean, it's another step forward, not a good one, but closer to massive action, you think, Lee, where we're headed with all of this. I mean, they sacked their neurological advisor on the spot as a result of what happened last weekend. I mean, that's just one
what
sacking.
The Dolphins sacked
theirs.
Dolphins
sacked theirs. Lee, am I right in saying, again, we really have only just scratched the surface on where we're going to hit with this concussion issue?
No, I think so, Andrew. They could not have scripted this one any worse. From what I understand, from what I read, the player obviously injured himself during the course of the game. But according to the club, there were medical evaluations undertaken, but including one undertaken at halftime during that particular match. And then there were daily medical evaluations thereafter before the next game on the Thursday. And they were apparently that's the assertion that's been made by some of the NFL's top medical officials. Now, there has been the termination of the neurotrauma consultant, but he has been described in some media reports as unaffiliated. And I have no idea what that could possibly mean. If he's unaffiliated, what's he doing there? Mm. Now, I suspect what that means is that the club is trying to distance themselves from themselves and the medical team. Mm. Because if it can be shown, of course, that there was some failing with respect to the management of the protocols, the diagnosis of the condition or the treatment of the condition, then, of course, the club and perhaps even the NFL could be held liable. And now we know what sort of damages are awarded in American actions over there. It's a lot of money. So it seems that the club may be on the back foot now trying to distance itself from this neurotrauma specialist. How it can, I do not know. You would think that he would be a servant or agent employee of the club itself, but they could not have scripted this one any worse.
Yeah, certainly one to follow and where it leads. Because that player, what if he doesn't play again or you know, down the track? it could be.
Oh, that's right.
It could be enormous, enormous, and it was awful to watch. It was one of the ugly, one of the worst things, uncomfortable things to watch. I think you'd ever see on a football field, watching this player go through and knowing what had led up to it in the previous week. Lee, appreciate your time. You go easy. I hope there's a day sometime soon where the Tigers don't get a mention.
I'm sure that day's coming, but before we finish, Andrew, if I could also add my voice to the congratulations to Greg and the Panthers on their victory. Outstanding season. And I proffer those congratulations on behalf of the West Tigers and Bryden's lawyers, Greg.
Good on you, Lee. Appreciate it, mate. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Panthers a benchmark. Thank you, Lee Hadjipantelis from Bryden's Lawyers right here on 1170 SEN here in Sydney. SEN, the home of sport.
Sport and the Law on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. For Bryden's Lawyers, let our team of professionals help with your legal matter.